The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, damn, week 17, we weeded out a few more teams. The playoff eligibility is really starting to whittle down. We now are hitting the stride, and now it's basically just a matter of seeding. But it's kind of looking like some teams, even the teams that are playoff bound, you're starting to see some separation between the real and the fake. So let's get right into it. We had some Saturday games to begin with. So we first have the Houston Texans at the Los Angeles Chargers. And, man, this Texans defense is so damn good. They really made this Chargers offense look so ineffective for the entire game. It was just, they are mobsters at the line. They just get right at you. It is all men on deck, too. It doesn't matter who it is. They just play great. And then in the secondary, they're awesome as well. And then now, offensively, they're actually starting to get some things going. C.J. Stroud, 15 for 28, 244, two touchdowns. I mean, this was my problem with them for the majority of the season, is that their defense was excellent, but their offense wasn't really getting going. But C.J. Stroud's actually starting to make some connections with some of his receivers. And who knows? I mean, this is when you want to get your connections going. So maybe that's going to help them down the line here in the playoffs. But this defense is great. Now, the Texans did get the win 20-16. But the Chargers, man, they are such a weird team, and that's kind of what I'm looking at with the Chargers headed into the playoffs. It's like they have no identity. They're so just meh on offense. Their defense is good, but it's like that's only going to carry you so far if your offense just can't get it going at all. So I just kind of feel like the Chargers are probably going to be one of those one-and-done teams, because they just do not show up for some of these games, even though they're an 11-5 team. But the Texans, they looked really good. They looked like they're ready to go for the playoffs. But we'll see. We'll see, because we still have one more week left of the regular season. Then also on Saturday night, we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Green Bay Packers. Neither Lamar Jackson or Jordan Love started in this one. So it was the backup quarterbacks for both teams. And that meant it was all Derrick Henry all night. And that is what the Baltimore Ravens did. Holy shit. Derrick Henry had 3 touchdowns in the first half. He ended up with 216 total yards and 4 touchdowns for the night. But 3 touchdowns in the first half. So that's what kind of night it was for the Ravens. They rolled over him 41-24. I will say, though, Malik Willis filled right in for Jordan Love. He went 18 for 21, 288 yards and a touchdown. He played some solid football. It just kind of feels like in the previous game, it looked like he injured his shoulder, and it kind of felt like that was bugging him a lot through this game, and it kind of hampered the way he played, even though that Packers defense just got ripped apart. I mean, it wasn't even just Derrick Henry that was a problem for them. It's just this Baltimore offense actually looked pretty damn good against this Packers defense. And part of the problem is now that they've lost their edge rushers, they just don't look good. And you could basically just get around. And then when you got a running back like Derrick Henry, who's literally the best running back in the league, if he gets going, he's really difficult to stop. And that was the type of game he needed. That was the type of game the Baltimore Ravens needed, because now, headed into Week 18, the Ravens are actually going to be playing for their division headed into Week 18. This saved their playoff hopes. So this was everything that they needed, and really not anything that the Packers needed, because they're headed into the playoffs, yes, but that's not the way you want to head into the playoffs, especially against a team that's pretty good, but, I mean, shouldn't be running over you that hard. But, man, Derrick Henry, he had quite the night. Then we move on to Sunday's games. We had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns, and this is actually why the Ravens also still have a shot at the playoffs, because the Browns were able to hang on in this one and get the win 13-6. This Steelers offense really was missing DK Metcalf, but I will say this is kind of how their offense has looked, very on and off. And then when you're playing such a good defense like the Browns, and you could obviously tell, they were really concerned with not giving up a sack to Myles Garrett, which they did not do, but they did not get the win in this one either. There was a couple of plays where it was pretty close, and Aaron Rodgers did get sacked, and when he got sacked, he even turned around to check who it was. And it did not happen to be Garrett, but they were definitely concerned with him all day. And it just, you could tell the receivers that Rodgers has right now without DK Metcalf, none of them were in sync with him yesterday. There were a couple of stupid boneheaded plays by their offensive linemen. It's just their offense was in complete disarray. Their defense played great. Brown's defense played great. I mean, the Browns' offense played terrible too. They were not good at all. They really couldn't get anything going. It was a solid day for Shadur. He went 17 for 23, 186 yards and a touchdown. He did have a couple of interceptions, though, and one was just a stupid interception. But, I mean, overall, 13-6 game, you could see how that game really was. It was all defense, and it was really no shock because it's an NFC North game, and that's just kind of how it goes. But that is why the Ravens are still in it, because the Ravens got their win, Steelers lost, and now there's a battle for the NFC North, or I mean the AFC North, coming up on Sunday Night Football, actually, next week. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Cincinnati Bengals, and this went as expected. The Cincinnati Bengals smashed the Cardinals 37-14. Joe Burrow, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. I felt like Joe Burrow, the rest of the season for him was going to be just getting back to normal play, because, I mean, the dude's been, he's been not only injured this year, but he's been injured last year, and he's just been injured a lot throughout his career. So I'm sure just for him, these last few games have been like, just get back in order, just get back to playing football, and just get back to playing good football. And he's been playing good football. And this week he went 24 for 31, 305 yards and two touchdowns. They actually sat him. That's how well he did, because obviously you don't want him to get hurt for no reason. But still, you want to get him in there, you want to get him some playing time, and you want to get him back in stride so he's ready to go next year. Their running back Chase Brown had a solid day as well, 101 yards and two touchdowns, and just an all-around solid day from the Bengals. Trey McBride, the tight end of the Arizona Cardinals, he actually, I think it actually happened last week and not this week, but he actually ended up becoming the all-time catch leader for a tight end in a season. He had the most catches this season, so good for him being on a team that's been terrible all year. I mean, the Cardinals are a 3-13 team and haven't had Kyler Murray for a good chunk of the season. And then you've got, and they've been terrible on the offensive side of the ball as well. So good for him for actually having a good season amongst all the trash in Arizona. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Tennessee Titans for the Who Cares Bowl, because neither of these teams are going anywhere. And the Saints got the win, 34-26. It actually ended up being a pretty solid shootout between the two rookies, Shug and Ward. Shug went 22 for 27, 333 yards and two touchdowns. I actually think, you know, I didn't know how I felt about this guy, but I actually think the Saints do have their quarterback. I mean, ever since Shug has taken over for the Saints at the starting position, I mean, he's had his, of course, he's had to work through some things because, you know, he's a rookie. But, I mean, overall, especially the last month of football, this guy's been showing out. I kind of feel like they get him some, I mean, if you get a healthy Kamara, because, I mean, that's been kind of a problem for them this year is Kamara. But, yeah, I mean, Olave had 119 yards and a touchdown. So you got a dude like Olave there. You maybe get him a couple of weapons. The Saints offense might actually be pretty damn good next year with Tyler Shug. But good for both of those rookies to have good games to end the season, even though both of them are just headed home and no playoffs. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. This ended up being a close game, 23-17 Jaguars, but I mean, it was pretty much all Jaguars all day. Trevor Lawrence went 23 for 37, 263 yards. ETN had 76 yards. It was a really, actually, a defensive battle, especially with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, their defense has been holding it down for them all season, and that basically that's what that game was. I mean, the Colts were already knocked out of the playoffs because I think it was because of the Saturday game. Yeah, when the Texans won, that knocked the Colts out of the playoffs. So they really had nothing to play for, but they came out. They played, but unfortunately for them, the Jaguars just held on to it and got the win. Then we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Miami Dolphins. And gotta say, one of the weirdest downfalls of the season has been the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, they came right out the gate. They were playing excellent football to start the season. And then the last, they're on like a 7-game losing streak right now, I believe. So it's like, they haven't been playing good football for about 2 months right now. And it's like, what is going on with this team? I mean, they're even starting to get some of their injured players back. And now they lost to a terrible Dolphins team, 20-17. I mean, Quinn Ewers, their rookie quarterback, was playing, and he had a couple of touchdowns. Actually, really trounced over them. So, and this Dolphins team really doesn't have anything to play for, whereas the Buccaneers, all they had to do was win. And now, lucky for them, spoiler alert, because we haven't got to this game yet, but the Panthers lost, so they will both be playing for their division, but neither of these teams really want to win the division. It's just the weirdest thing when it comes to both the AFC North and the NFC South. It's like, who wants to win these divisions? And right now, neither the Buccaneers or the Panthers want to win this division. As a matter of fact, somehow the Falcons, if the Falcons end up winning their next two games, they could mess things up heading into next week. And the stats roll, the Panthers would get in or whatever. I don't know. But it's just like a weird division where none of these crappy teams want to win. And I just don't understand what happened to the Buccaneers, because it's not like they lost all their players or anything. It's just, they just are not putting it together at all lately. Then we had the New England Patriots at the New York Jets, and the Patriots just smashed the Jets, 42-10. Drake May, 19 for 21, 256 yards and 5 touchdowns. Yeah, 5 touchdowns. And now this Jets team is terrible. I think this is the third week in a row that they've allowed over 30 points scored on them. So, yeah. It's just been that kind of year for the Jets, but the Patriots just keep on rolling, and they actually won their division thanks to the Buffalo Bills. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the Carolina Panthers, and like I said, the Carolina Panthers did not win this game because the Seahawks did. They got the win 27-10, and like I said, the Panthers didn't want to win. If they won yesterday and the Bucs lost, they would have won the division. But both of them lost yesterday, so now we're going to have a battle for the division, and it's like, who the hell wants to win this? Because you know, the last matchup actually was a pretty good matchup between the two of them, like, what, last week? Came down to the final battle, and the Panthers got the win, but now it's like, now they're going to be heading to Tampa. What's going to happen here? Are we going to tie? You know, then what happens? And I wouldn't be shocked, tie at zero, because that's just how these two teams are playing right now. Nobody wants to win that division. But the Seahawks, they are rolling. Their defense, freaking Bryce Young only had 53 passing yards yesterday. 53. He's the starting freaking quarterback. It was not a good day for this Carolina Panthers offense just as a whole. Because this Seattle Seahawks defense, they are crazy. If this Seahawks offense is just able to put together even halfway decent games, their defense keeps them in it every single time. Now, Darnold had a solid game, 18 for 27, 147 yards and a touchdown. Charbonnet had 110 yards on the ground and 2 touchdowns. And then JSN had 72 yards. So it was just an all-around solid day from the Seahawks offensively, defensively. And now they actually head into a battle with the San Francisco 49ers this weekend for the number one overall seed and for their division as well. So a lot's going on. Well, not a lot. A few really key games heading into Week 18, but there's a lot of crap on deck too. There's a lot of teams that have already announced backups will be playing because they have nothing to play for. Then we had the Who Cares Bowl between the New York Giants and the Las Vegas Raiders. This is actually who gets the first pick in the draft next year, basically. And obviously, the Raiders really wanted that because they got their asses smashed by the Giants, 34-10. And it was kind of a very chippy game. There were multiple fights. There was a huge fight on the sideline where a ref just comes running over from completely out of nowhere on the opposite side of the field to try and stop this shit. But, you know, even though both the Giants and Raiders are out of it, their players came to play yesterday for sure. But now the Raiders are on target for the number one overall pick next year. It's not on lock, and we still got to see what happens in Week 18. But if the Raiders lose next week, they are the number one overall pick. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the Buffalo Bills. And I just got to say about the Buffalo Bills, what the fuck is up with this team? They do not know what the hell they're doing. They have no idea what's going on. And it really annoys me because, like, the whole game, they were, like, trying to, oh, Josh Allen this and Josh Allen Superman this. And don't get me wrong, Josh Allen is a great quarterback. I enjoy the hell out of watching him. I just love watching him play. But the fact that the whole game, they're, like, trying to push him towards it. And it's like, do you know that Jalen Hurts is the Super Bowl winning quarterback on the field right now? Like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, Josh Allen, excellent quarterback, but he has won absolutely nothing, and he's done absolutely nothing. And I could guarantee you he feels the same way I do, because I'm sure he wants that Super Bowl ring way more than that MVP he got last year. And don't get me wrong, he's definitely the MVP of this team, but what the hell was that from all of them yesterday? Not Josh Allen in particular. I mean, the whole fucking team. This team never knows. They play so weird. That's just all there is to it. And I really just wouldn't be shocked if when the playoffs roll around, they're one and done, because they just... their identity is who the fuck knows, because every game you're like, what is going on here? And the Eagles didn't even play that great, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they played fantastic. Offensively, they didn't even complete a pass in the second half of the game. They did get the win 13-12, because another stupid thing that happened with the Bills, because they're just the what the fuck team. They missed an extra point when they finally scored a touchdown in the second half. In the fourth quarter, because they couldn't score any points until the fourth quarter. It was literally 13-0 in the first half, all the way until the fourth quarter. And then the Bills finally get something up their ass, and they're like, oh my God, let's score some touchdowns. But then, of course, when they score their first touchdown, what happens? Blocked extra point. And it's not even just like a miss. It was a straight-up block, and it was Jalen Carter. He knows what he's doing. Why are you... people got to learn, the interior line of the defense on the Philadelphia Eagles is probably the strongest in the league. Don't fuck with that. And that's what the stupid-ass Bills, they fucked with it and missed the extra point. Which then, after they scored this final touchdown that they finally got, all the way at the end of the game, to end the game, they go for the two-point conversion, which I get and I don't get. I kind of feel like, yes, you should have tied it up just to keep it going. But then at the same time, when you really sit back and look at it, it was raining a lot. The Bills were not playing well at all. So it's like, who's to say they would have done anything in overtime? And then also Josh Allen, he's been nursing a foot injury. And it's kind of like, do you really want your starting quarterback to be playing in overtime when you have the playoffs rolling around? Because they for sure are in the playoffs. So it's kind of like, go for the 2 points so we don't have to go into extended time. And they actually could have had... won it with the two-pointer. Receiver was wide open. It's just Josh Allen didn't. He threw the ball way too quick and missed his receiver, and the game ends with the Eagles with the win 13-12. So like I said, offensively, Eagles didn't do shit. They started to in the first half. They looked pretty solid. But then the second half, like I said, didn't complete a pass. Ground attack still never got going. It's just their defense kept them in it, and they got the win. And because the Bills are the what-the-fuck team, that's why they lost. And even when they were going for the two-point conversion, like before they scored the touchdown, I was like, even if they score the touchdown and go for the 2 points, hell, even if they kick the field goal, I bet they're going to miss it. Just because that's how the Bills game was going last night. They could not get their footing at all. The Eagles are just lucky that they were playing the Bills, to be quite honest, though, because the Bills are just such a weird what-the-fuck team. But then again, it's like, this is how the Eagles keep winning. So, our luck, we're going to see the stupid-ass Eagles repeat, because this is how everybody plays the Eagles. Just keeps letting them win. And then our Sunday night football matchup, which ended up being a doozy between the Chicago Bears at the San Francisco 49ers. And it started off with a pick six from Brock Purdy, and the scoring never stopped from either team, literally until the last play of the game. It was one of the craziest games between two. I mean, both Purdy and Caleb Williams were on last night. Brock Purdy had 5 touchdowns, 3 in the air, 2 rushing. And I mean, that's his second game in a row with 5 touchdowns, by the way. But you could tell dude's back from the injury and looks really really motherfucking good. Playing with not a lot. Other than Christian McCaffrey, he ain't really got any weapons. Kittle didn't even play last night, so he ain't even got any weapons right now, and he is lighting it up. So is Caleb Williams, though. 25 for 42, 330 yards and 2 touchdowns. Only problem is they just could not score the final touchdown in the end. That's just basically what it was. What it really came down to, honestly, is that the Niners were able to score touchdowns, and just the one time the Bears had to settle for a field goal, that's what cost them. And so the Niners hung on to the win 42-38. But man, it was crazy. I mean, even on the last play, it's a 4th down, and Caleb Williams is about to be sacked, and he just kind of jumps and flips his feet up like a little ballerina and gets away, and you're like, that's how this game is, that even the last second, it just goes down to it. And I mean, Bears could have easily won that one too, but the Niners really, it was all offense though, all offense. Both of these defenses played terrible last night, except for the Niners defense held it down on that final play. That was it. They only needed to hold it down on that final play, and they absolutely held it down on the final play. Also of note, like I said, McCaffrey is the only offensive weapon that Brock Purdy had last night, and he rushed for 140 yards and had a touchdown last night. So great game for him. Burden, the wide receiver on the Bears, 138 yards and a touchdown as well. He needed to fill in because there's a few guys injured for the Bears right now, and he came right out the gate, but unfortunately he was injured on the last play, so who knows if that's going to affect them rolling into the playoffs. But that would suck if it did, because he's really kind of growing into a dude that could end up being reliable, because he made some real big plays last night. Then moving on to our last Monday Night Football game of the season, because there won't be one next week during week 18. Next week's only going to have Saturday and Sunday games. So this is it. Except for the playoffs, they do get a playoff game for Monday Night Football as well. But no more Monday Night Football after tonight, and unfortunately, it is a crap fest. It is the Los Angeles Rams at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Rams are an 8.5-point favorite. Atlanta is a trash team, and they really don't have anything to play for. The Rams, they're not going to get the number one overall seed, but they probably would like to head into the playoffs and actually just get some real good wins here heading into the playoffs, and I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen tonight. I think the Rams are going to just turn it on offensively, and the Falcons are terrible, so I've got the Rams winning 35-10. Moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. Actually, really not a lot of, no different teams in here, but a little bit of movement. One team is falling, and it's pissing me off because it's my favorite team, but we'll get there when we get there. But let's start off with still remaining number one overall team, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 27-5. This past week, they beat the Memphis Grizzlies, lost to the Spurs twice, and then beat the Philadelphia 76ers. And really, their only problem so far has been the San Antonio Spurs. And guess what? It's December. It's basically the beginning of the NBA season. We haven't even hit the halfway point. I think they could figure it out by the time they have to face off against San Antonio. Or maybe San Antonio's just going to be their Achilles heel this year, but that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean they're even going to meet up in the playoffs. That just means that the Spurs know how to beat them, at least their first three, four matchups that they've played so far this year. But that's been their only problem. That's been the only team that's really been able to, I guess, rattle their cage. But you know what? They probably need that cage rattled because they're the best team in the league. So they keep on winning. If you keep on winning, you don't really think that you have any flaws. And so the Spurs probably show them that they've got some flaws that they need to work on to try and win another championship. But I mean, you look at this team and what's wrong with them? Zero. That's it. So the Oklahoma City Thunder still remain number one on my power rankings this week. But at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings, storming up these power rankings, the San Antonio Spurs. Overall record of 23-8. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder twice and then lost to the Utah Jazz. But this team is so impressive. They are playing just excellent team basketball. Even when Wemby was out, they played excellent team basketball. You look like De'Aaron Fox. Dude has been on since he came back from injury. Castle's been playing well since he came back from injury. Vassell's having a great season. Keldon Johnson where the fuck did this dude come from? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, even beyond Victor Wembanyama. I mean, Wemby is a great player, and he's obviously the focal point of this team, but I really look at the starting five and their bench, and they're getting so much help. They're just putting it together, and they aren't beating the Thunder by no fluke either. They really are beating them and absolutely dominating them. And I just kind of like, I already felt like the Spurs were going to be a good team this year, but I did not think they were going to be this good, this fast. And they look damn good. Like they, to me, look like an actual legit championship contender. And I did not think that was going to be them this year. I thought that was going to be more next year. Obviously we still have a lot of season to go, but they just look good, playing excellent, excellent team basketball right now. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 22-9. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz, lost to the Dallas Mavericks, beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then lost to the Orlando Magic. Nikola Jokic, he's just unbelievable. He had another insane triple-double last night against the Orlando Magic in a loss. He just had that one triple-double against Minnesota earlier this week, 56-16, 16, and 16. And it's not just him. Jamal Murray is just balling out of his mind. And now they are in first place in just about every single offensive category right now. They are first in field goal percentage, knocking down 51.3% of their shots. First in three-point percentage, knocking down 40.7% of their three-point field goal shots. And then they lead the league in 125.8 points per game. Like, they are just, it's suffocating on the offensive side. They just can't, they really can't be stopped. And Nikola Jokic, it's just like, he looks like a big fucking box. And he's not athletic in any way, shape, or form. But yet here is this dude who just owns every single motherfucker. He, I mean, 56 points and 16 assists. It's just, and 16 rebounds, and then just to continuously do that on a regular basis, and then get what you're getting from Jamal Murray. The Denver Nuggets are another team. Like, the Western Conference is just stacked with teams right now. It's going to be interesting when the playoffs actually do roll around, because who's winning? They're all beating each other up at this point, but the Denver Nuggets play great offensively, and Nikola Jokic, Jesus Christ, where did this dude come from? Who the fuck knows, but he's a fantastic basketball player. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 24-8. This past week, they beat the Portland Trailblazers, the Sacramento Kings, and then lost to the Utah Jazz. Basically, I only moved the Pistons down because the Spurs and the Nuggets are really starting to surge. There's nothing wrong with the Pistons. They're still playing great defensively. They're still the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're still playing great offensively. Cade Cunningham still doing well. Durant, there's nothing wrong with the Pistons to me. It's just, these Western Conference teams are playing better than the Eastern Conference teams, and I just had to put them above it. But there's really no major reason why the Pistons fell. It's just because the other two teams are just doing a little bit better at this current point in time. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 22-9. This past week, they lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves and then got wins over the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Hawks. And this is just another team that is playing excellent team basketball. They look great on the defensive side of the ball. They look great on the offensive side of the ball. Brunson is just delivering with precision every single game. Just throwing up, he's averaging like near, I think, 40 points a game. Or something close to that. I might be wrong. I think it might actually be 30 points a game. I think it's like 29 point something points per game. Regardless, he's on. Bridges is on. And then Karl Anthony Towns. Got to say, he's kind of playing out of his mind this year. I mean, he's never been like a bad player, but it just kind of looks like he is playing like fancy and free or some shit, because he is just, he really doesn't seem to have a problem. And I'm really looking at the Knicks like, they could be a real, real legit championship contender if they keep playing excellent team ball at all ends of the court, offensively and defensively. And like I said, these Mike Brown teams usually show out year one when he takes over. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 19-10. This past week, they lost to the Los Angeles Clippers, beat the Los Angeles Lakers, and then beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. And just, they are really starting to put it together. They are, it's not even just offensively. I mean, 3 points, the 3-point shot, it's crazy between Kevin Durant and just Amen Thompson and Şengün. These guys are just scoring. They're dominating the paint. They're still tops in the league in rebounding. And I just kind of feel like they're getting stronger as the season is wearing on. Once again, another strong-ass Western Conference team where I'm like, I don't know if you really want to go up against this team because they're just that good. But we'll see. I mean, but like I said, they're just, especially in rebounding, that's such a great advantage to have. Especially against teams like the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets, since that's where Jokic basically lives. You're definitely going to need to dominate the paint. And if you're number one at dominating the paint over those teams, then you're sitting pretty. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the team that is falling for me, and that is my Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 20-10. This past week, they lost to the Phoenix Suns, got their asses beat by the Houston Rockets on Christmas, and then finally actually got a win last night against the Sacramento Kings. You know, like I was saying last week, I see a lot of issues with the bench and some of the role players. There's no issues with Luka, LeBron. Only issue right now, unfortunately, with Austin Reeves is he has a strained calf. So he's going to be out at least 3 to 4 weeks. So we got to figure out how to get by without him, which really sucks because he's really just been having a phenomenal year, and he and Luka just, they really fit well together. But it's not those guys that I'm worried about. It really is the rest of the role players right now. They just aren't playing really consistent basketball at this point in time. They got a lot of talent. Luka's having an amazing year, but I mean, who cares if Luka's having an amazing year if we aren't competing with teams like the Thunder, the Spurs, the Nuggets, and the Rockets, who just kicked our... I mean, that Rockets game on Christmas Day was so pathetic. It was one of the most pathetic games I've ever seen. And it's not that the Rockets are a bad team or anything, but it's like you couldn't be competitive against one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Come on now. So Lakers got to put it together, especially when it comes to their role players. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 20-12. This past week, they beat the New York Knicks and then lost to the Denver Nuggets and then lost to the Brooklyn Nets. And they're just another team where they start to get going, they get some good wins, and then they have that loss to the Nets last night. It's just very odd. But I will say, Dante DiVincenzo, he's finally starting to get going. It kind of feels like he hasn't really, you know, he's played a huge role for them last year, and it kind of felt like he hasn't really shown up yet. And now it feels like the last couple of weeks kind of feels like we're starting to see him more and more, and he's starting to get back into his game. And he should add another level, because he was such a huge, huge part of the team last year, that I kind of feel like once him and Naz Reid finally get it back in order, this Minnesota Timberwolves team is going to be pretty damn difficult to beat. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Boston Celtics. Overall record of 19-12. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers twice and then lost to the Portland Trail Blazers. It's just with the Celtics, you know, Brown, he's having a great year. I mean, nothing bad about him, but it's just like, is anybody else around him going to step up? And yes, on occasions they do, but I just kind of feel like the Celtics are really only in the conversation at this point in time because they're in the Eastern Conference. If they were in the Western Conference, ain't nobody would be talking about them. But since we really only have the Pistons and the Knicks and everybody else in the Eastern Conference, it's kind of like, well, the Celtics are still playing pretty decent basketball, and they do have Brown, but they're not really a threat, and they aren't really playing any consistent basketball really so far this season. They really haven't dominated anybody, and they just haven't really been a focal point. And I mean, that's just to be expected without Jason Tatum. But I will say, I think they're playing better basketball than I anticipated without Jason Tatum. But they still, kind of a middle of the road team right now, even though I've got them ranked at 9. But I mean, just comparing to the rest of the league, I don't really look at them as a contender. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Orlando Magic. Overall record of 18-14. This past week, they lost to the Golden State Warriors, beat the Portland Trail Blazers, lost to the Charlotte Hornets, and then beat the Denver Nuggets. Yeah, they beat the Denver Nuggets. What I love about this team, though, is that they just have so many young nobodies just coming up and just playing great team basketball. Now, they're not playing great basketball like team basketball like the Spurs, but I kind of feel like they're kind of building a squad like that. I mean, Anthony Black, he's just shown out the last few games for them. So he just had a career high 38 points over the weekend. So he's starting to really get going. Then you've got Bane. I've been talking about Desmond Bane all season. I don't know where the hell this dude came from, but he's been playing excellent basketball for this Magic team. I mean, he's obviously the leader of the squad, which is weird because you kind of figured it was going to be Banchero, which who actually isn't really having that great of a season. I mean, he's not like terrible or anything. It's just he's kind of disappeared a bit. You just don't see him really dominating the game as Desmond Bane or even Anthony Black have been lately. And then even Wendell Carter Jr., another guy who's just coming out of nowhere and just really is playing excellent basketball. But it's kind of crazy. This Orlando Magic team is actually really competitive in their not only in their division against the Miami Heat, but actually the rest of the Eastern Conference. I mean, like I just said, Boston's record is 19-12. Orlando 18-14. That's not too much of a difference right there. So the Orlando Magic are actually playing pretty solid basketball. And I mean, if they're able to, the injury bug has been kind of their problem last year and this year a little bit. Not as bad as last year, but I mean, who knows? But I kind of feel like if Banchero's able to get back to the type of basketball we're used to seeing, This could be a pretty decent squad for Orlando, and they could definitely be a playoff-bound team. I mean, it's not like the Miami Heat are dominating their division by any means. So if Orlando just keeps playing solid basketball, if they're able to stay healthy, and if Banchero is able to get going and playing the basketball we're used to seeing from him, then I kind of feel like the Orlando Magic got this division on lock. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you on Wednesday.